podcast.
There is so much great work happening in the council at the moment. So I got together with Rachel and Jane to talk about everything that's been happening around Connect for Success. So I think we touch on just about every service. So if you're in education or you're in property or you're in housing or if you're in roads or economic development or any number of services, there's pretty much going to be something in this for you and probably a mention of your services. So check out our conversation on Connect for Success. So today we're going to be talking about Connect for Success, and we're moving into a phase where we're really interested in capturing more of your experiences of implementing Connect for Success. But here to talk to me about it so we can dive a little bit deeper are Jane Jarvie, Communications Manager, and Rachel Holliman, Project Officer in the Communications team. And I suppose culture is something that is always been something that I think is really important to focus on in the organisation, as well as all the frontline services that we deliver. And I suppose to me it is the underpinning of everything we do in creating the environment so we can deliver the very best that we can for our communities. And when I think about culture, it's really taking the behaviours that we all demonstrate in how we go about our business in the organisation and how we relate to one another, how we lead the organisation and how we lead the area, and all the processes and things, and what do they look like and how do we design those so that we can get the best out of the organisation and be best placed to face all the challenge and change that is inevitable in any organisation. So that was really at the heart of coming up with the Connect for Success principles. But I'm interested, maybe Jane and Rachel. Jane, does that resonate for you as what culture means to you and its importance?
It does, thanks. But I'll be honest, it resonates only in as far as I think about culture, and it makes sense in my head, and then I don't think about it again. But the good news and the nice thing about this podcast is that there are lots of examples of Connect for Success in action as a culture that helps the organisation and that helps people get things done. Because, Pippa, councils are amazing places. We do so much. And Argyll and Bute Council has got so many good employees working really hard to make a difference for our communities. But times aren't easy. Budgets are tight, workloads are tough. But really, we've reached a stage where we can see Connect for Success in action, helping people to get things done. And Rachel especially can explain a bit more about that. But it was yourself, Pippa, that the seven principles behind Connect for Success originated from. So I think it'd be useful to hear from you how you identified those as what we all need in Argyll and Bute Council now.
Yeah, I think it's a really good question, Jane, and I couldn't agree more in terms of the great stuff. And if people read any of my recent updates, you'll see I get a real sense when I'm out talking to others, the extent to we're really in the leading pack in terms of a lot of the work that we're doing. And we'll come back to some examples, I'm sure. But actually, the principles came out of the stuff we were doing during COVID. And actually, for all that was, a really dreadful thing to deal with, what I also picked up was some real positive feedback from staff about how we were operating. And actually, it was about there being no boundaries based on services or individual teams or directorates. People just got together and found solutions to problems. That's us operating as the one council, essentially. I suppose maybe it was slightly unique, but we had a real singular
vision and mission about what we were trying to do in COVID, and keeping people safe and looking after vulnerable people. So there was a real benefit from having that really clear sense of purpose, so people knew what they were trying to deliver when they were working together. People were really empowered, so they got together in those teams and they came up with solutions. So I mean, I still remember the being gobsmacked that people designed a whole food delivery service in about a week, and that wasn't because senior management all said, right, we want you to do this. A team of people just got in a room and made it happen. So, being empowered when you got that clear vision and mission, we used a lot of data and evidence and adjusted what we were doing. So, I remember we had an initial plan that was probably the gold standard for getting school meals out to people, but actually people weren't taking up that opportunity, and we had data that was telling us that. And so we used that data and said, right, actually, we need to take some learnings. So maybe if we did something that's, slightly less than the gold standard, but we get to more people, that's more important. So, that really gets into that data, being data and evidence led, and being a learning council and adapting. I suppose we were, it's almost obvious to say we were agile, because we were just moving people around and redeploying them, wherever we needed to. And we didn't let the all the sort of structure and bureaucracy get in our way, so we could respond really, really, really quickly. And we used digital, a great example of we're at the vanguard. We were, we basically just switched on people's VPN, and everybody was working from home and with their full telephony and things, in a way that, most other organizations in the public sector weren't doing. And when I talk to people about what worked during COVID, a lot of people said for that they were, the pace was unrelenting, and you wouldn't want to sort of keep that up. Actually, it was really rewarding way to work. You really could see what you were delivering and making a difference. So those principles became pretty clear from some of those conversations. And clearly we can't and don't want to replicate COVID for lots of reasons, but I think there's still a lot we can take from that in terms of, how we can work effectively together, make it a great fun place to work, a rewarding place to work, while really making a difference to our communities. And I think, that underpinning them is that sense that, we constantly want to look at what can we streamline to make it, easier for people to do their jobs. What can we do to collaborate internally and externally? And, how can we innovate and to keep the council moving forward, so that we're constantly asking ourselves, is there a better or a different way of doing things, so that we don't stand still, so we stay in that leading pack, that, we exhibit so many times in terms of the great work that we do, often award-winning as well. Just get that in there. So that's basically the kind of reason and why and how it came about.
Thanks, very succinctly explained. Thank you. And like we were saying, we're really seeing it in action now. And Rachel is relatively new to the council and has had the privilege of speaking to a lot of people about how they're putting Connect for Success into action. And Rachel, it's been lovely hearing back from you how impressed you are, A, with the breadth of what the council still does for our communities, and B, what people are achieving through Connect for Success. Do you want to tell us a bit about that?
Now, what I would say is, yes, because I've just been here for a few months now, I still have, I suppose, a relatively fresh perspective, and a certain amount of objectivity and can see the scale of work that's underway. And I think what's been really interesting to be part of this is that what we're talking about in terms of the principles and it's not anything that people aren't actually already doing in many ways. It's just that now is a great time to go, this is working and this is what people are doing and this is why it's working, and holding them up and giving a little bit of spotlight and prominence to individual achievement, to team achievement, to leadership, to show that big picture and the thinking around it. And I've had the you know, been very lucky to work with quite a few organizations who are going through periods of transformation. And what I would say is that I think our Gallen View Council are doing it really well. And I think it's quite a lovely thing to be part of. For example, the data advisory group, you know, on paper, I think still people think, what is data? What's that about? Why is that important? But actually on a practical level, it allows us to do things like understand where school meals need to go, who's eating what's wasteful, what's costing money. It's allowing us to look at what's being recycled. Why is it being recycled? Where is recycling well and where is not recycling well, so we can better allocate resource to those areas? It's allowing us to get granular insight in a way that we've never been able to do before. And that's empowering people to work in their jobs. There's just an incredible amount going on. I was just speaking to the heads of education there, and we touch on data allowing us more insight into schools than ever before, that not only allow teachers or people at the front line to do their jobs, but back up decisions with that evidence. So I think there are so many examples, and I would really encourage people to go to the Connect for Success microsite to drill down deeper into some of those stories, to read about their colleagues, and also share their stories, you know, tell us what you're up to. And a lot of those stories as well, it's not just about data, it's about things like technology, how we are using technology to our advantage. And that is on a role by role basis. For some people that I've spoken to, they're creating things like apps to help them in their day-to-day jobs. For others, it's just genuinely the convenience of being able to work from home, things that now I think we actually take sort of for granted. But as you were saying, Pippa, pre-COVID, it was almost unimaginable for many people, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Whereas now that's relatively normal, not for every job, and it never will be for every job. But where it is possible, it's quite life-changing. So there are so many great examples out there. And more to uncover and more to sort of shine a spotlight on.
Something I like that there are different ways to describe Connect for Success. So we hope the wording Connect for Success, three little words, big impact, hopefully is easy to remember. But I think the ethos of it all was summed up at one point as themes, not teams, which I really like. So that could be working with people, not just within your own team, but with further afield across the council, or with organisations, partners outside of the council as well. And we've got some examples around themes, not teams, in practice as well, haven't we? So for example, Roads and Infrastructure Services with Customer Support Services have put together a much simpler, streamlined way for dealing with events that hopefully makes it easier for people out there to work with us and running events that benefit our economy and communities, but also save our services time in making it all work. So I think that's a really good example of themes, not teams.
Yeah, and I think it's great having your insight, Rachel, because you know sometimes we take for granted what we do. And I remember I joined the council of a little over 10 years ago now, and I remember being really impressed, particularly with the IT, but with so many things. And we're a big area, but we're a relatively small council in terms of size of organization, and it's easier when you've got that objectivity as someone new. You kind of lose some of that when you've been in the organization and you see things day in, day out. But actually, you know, when you look at some of the things we're doing, and I go and talk to other people, you get a sense of just how advanced we are. I was at a conference the other week, and somebody asked everybody to put their hands up about whether they were using bots in HR. And it's not, we might think everybody's doing it, but we are, at the cutting edge with some of that stuff with what we're doing. And I think till you do that, or you see us winning awards for the I think things like the use of drones with school meals and that sort of thing. But I mean, there are all sorts, well, our own communications team and being award-winning for your work on the A816, which is another example of one council of making sure that that was communicated to communities, as well as actually fixing the road. And arguably both are as important as one another. You don't necessarily have a sense of how well we're comparing with others.
What I would say on that, and it's nothing to do with data or our technology, but the principle around empowerment, it has been quite surprising to speak to so many people who genuinely feel quite empowered in their roles and want to continue that culture. For example, I've been talking a lot with people in roads and infrastructure about this piece we're doing for Cascade, and people genuinely quite excited and feeling skilled and able to come up with ideas and put them forward in a way that I suppose traditionally we might not have found. People can speak out, people can come up with solutions, people feel that they can challenge in a healthy culture, and these are things that again maybe now we take as normal in the council, but you don't find in every workplace, you don't find in every team. But I think certainly from my experience of talking to people, people generally feel quite comfortable coming up with ideas, running with projects, having difficult conversations in the right way. And these are certainly all of the behaviors and ways of working that are conducive to good work. And it's been, as I said, relatively new. I would say it's not nor it's not the norm. It's a wonderful way to work, but it's not the norm across everywhere.
Yeah, and I think that's a really important point that you make, because to me, if we have the right side sort of culture, actually people do feel that sense of safety, so that they can put ideas forward or ask questions, or that we can look at ourselves and say, actually that bit didn't go so well. That doesn't mean to say we've done anything wrong. That's just good practice to say, we used all the data and evidence we had. We decided we go that route. It didn't work for good reasons as well as we hoped it would. Let's have a look at that and see what we learn from that. We need to cherish that sense of
Absolutely.
it being a safe place to have those discussions and be able to
Yeah.
raise those
And
things.
what I would say, and very much on the on those terms, is that it's across all levels. I've spoken with people who like the coaching right at the top, people willing to learn, who feel that they're supported in an environment that facilitates growth. So right at the top, the coaching, right down to the work that's going on with apprenticeships, the training that's in place, the supporting environment. So we're not talking about one particular type of colleague. We're talking about at every corner, in every area of the council, that there are these lovely and pertinent examples of people going through change, developing self-development. That yeah, as I said, we it's a privilege to be able to tell those stories, and hopefully someone reading that story will think, well, actually, well, maybe I want to do a bit more training, or maybe I want to know more about what data is, because I actually don't know what that means, or maybe I'm going to challenge my boss a little bit more in a healthy way, of course.
Yes.
But that it's okay to do that now, and that we're as you're saying, modeling these behaviors and showing that that it's okay.
Yeah. No, I think you're right, and it's a good, in a way, it's a good test when we're looking at processes and procedures and things like that. Does that align with the principles and the way we're doing it? And I mean, Jane, you touched on the name Connect for Success, but I mean, you were instrumental in coming up with that as the name for it. And I think, you know, I don't know if you want to say a bit more, because I think actually it embodies so much of what this whole program is trying to do.
Sure. Well, as you've explained, Pippa, there are seven principles behind this culture that we're building, but I certainly will never remember easily the seven principles. So we wanted a different way, or an easy way, for people to remember the kind of culture that we're aiming to build. And running through it all is the fact it's about trying to build or develop ways of working together that make it easier for us all to get done what we have to do. And working together clearly isn't a new idea. We've all been doing that for a long time, but the ways of doing that are what we're coming in as newer. So that's where the connect came from. And the success comes from the fact of just how much the council does, all the different outcomes and results and supports and services that council employees work to deliver. Whatever you're trying to achieve, success is intended to cover that. So that's where we reached Connect for Success as a way of summing up the overall principles and culture.
And that, I think it is great. One, it's, you know, embodies a really positive aspiration, you know, which I think captures the passion that I see in our teams, because there's something of working in Argyll and Bute and its geography. People are very invested in the area, and that comes across really strongly, is that that passion to really keep driving forward. And be successful. And you're right, you know, connect, I suppose, can pick up the extent to which we connect with our communities, we work with partners, we work with each other, we support each other in our teams. Because, you know, we've said in the past, none of what we're trying to deliver, we can deliver, anyone can deliver alone. It's all about partnerships, and a lot of it is about working in partnership with others, you know, be it our communities, with other organisations. If I think about housing and the housing emergency, you know, we're working with communities, community development trusts, we're working with registered social landlords, we're working with Scottish Government, you know, we're working across multiple teams, we're working with HIE. All of these things are interlinked, and it needs us all to do that and to be collegiate and supportive in how we help each other on those things, because we'll all bring something different, and we won't necessarily, it doesn't mean we all, you know, agree with each other. It's not some you know, loving where everybody is necessarily all agree. It's about being able to, as they say in one of my favorite podcasts, to disagree agreeably if we're going to do it, and then work through that to find the solutions. So you know, I think it really does pick up that or embody that principle really strongly.
Absolutely. And the one thing that everyone has mentioned as I've been talking to them is that all of these changes, new ways of working, new projects, new skills, whatever, the internal process is ultimately all for the benefit of our external communities and our customers, and just that. And it's not an isolation, it is entirely for the success of Argyll and Bute. And I think there is that sense of scale about so much of the work that's going on. It's not one person in one service, it's all for that bigger picture.
Absolutely. And I think yeah, maybe it's worth us talking a bit about you know, what, because we're looking for people to get involved even more. So Rachel, maybe talk about what we're looking for, because you know, it's about making this, as Jane said earlier, it's about making it come alive for people to really get a sense of what, how powerful this could still be beyond what it has been already.
Absolutely. And I think there's a few key points around that. Is that one, it's really about shining a spotlight on individual achievement or team achievement from the point of view of we're not always really good at doing that. And I don't say we as an Argyll and Bute, as we as people, sometimes it's hard to be told you're actually doing really well, this is a great project. I think it's just very sort of within our bigger culture, isn't it? You know, not it's hard to take a compliment. So in a way, we're just trying to say, actually, this is really good. This is awesome. We want to tell people about this. This is a great project. Or this app you've developed, or how you are empowering your team. This is brilliant. Like, let's do more of this. And second to that, it's new stuff, isn't it? It's not, you know, there's always change. There's always something driving a state of change. But within that bigger change, we don't always talk about the new ideas or new ways of working that we're coming up with. So what I would say to people is, you know, tell us about your new stuff. Be proud of it. Like, tell our colleagues about it. Not just within your immediate team, but it's about going, well, this team in economic development, they're doing this. And actually, there could be someone sitting in roads and infrastructure who go, God, I didn't know to do that. I didn't think about that. That's a great idea. Vice versa. So tell us your new stuff and be proud of any achievements that you have. And it might just in turn inspire someone else to work in that very way.
Yeah, I think that's such a good point, because, you know, you can always get good ideas from other people, you know, whether it's when I'm out and about in the council or the area or talking to other organisations, there's always a little nugget that you come away with going, oh, maybe we could do some of that, or I didn't know they were doing that and I'm going to go and find out more about it. Yeah. And it might also open up opportunities to do more collaborative work together, because I think that's something, you know, the work that's been done on the community engagement strategy, the data advisory group, has been about cross-fertilizing ideas with people from different teams and different perspectives.
Yes. And sometimes I think when I've spoken to people, they haven't even necessarily thought that someone else might be interested in it. But the minute you drill down into, well, how did you solve that problem? Or what tech did you use for this? And start writing about it, other people go, I didn't even know you could do that. So inspiration often comes from unlikely sources. And I suppose we're just in this capacity, giving people the opportunity to find inspiration.
And picking up on your point, Rachel, that few of us are comfortable blowing our own trumpets.
Absolutely.
If people
we're
are
terrible.
Thinking, I'm not sure about that. Really, all we're asking is give the comms team a wee call. We absolutely love promoting other people's good news.
Yes.
Just give us a wee call. If in doubt, give us a shout, and we'll be happy to hear from you. And then, Rachel, especially, you'll turn people's call into the credit and the good news that I'm sure they deserve.
Yeah, that's a good point. So they don't have to have created the finished article. They just need to give us the bare bones and things, and we'll
say, give you the pat on the back.
Exactly.
Yeah. We, the royal we, you'll finesse it and make it fab, and you know, and hopefully we can translate it out, because I think, you know, it's maybe also worth touching. You know, this is what's the catchphrase people sort of talk about, is an evolution, not a revolution, you know, and this doesn't sort of stop at a key point, but, you know, we are so we are constantly looking for those ideas, but we've got some really exciting potential. Obviously, a lot of people will be moving over the next couple of months onto Teams telephony. I know I'm still finding out loads about what I can do with Teams, you know, and don't forget your digital champions folks in that regard. But, you know, we're exploring what AI can do for us and how we might capture some of that. But we are trying to now, with the new administration's new priorities agreed, refreshing the corporate plan and looking at our vision, trying to sort of continue to sharpen that vision and mission that we're working towards, and start to get a sense of, you know, what might our destination look like in the future so that we can paint a bit of a picture and people have a clear sense of what we're moving towards and what that will mean and how we work. 'Cause I think, going back to the COVID example, I hope as we sort of add more into that, it will also make people feel safer to be empowered because they've got a clarity of what we're doing, and that will help to inform their decision making, and that will make that easier for people to think about what else they can do in their team. So I think it's important to say we want to capture all those ideas, but we're not going to sort of say, right, we draw a line and we stop. This is about, what's the art of the possible, and let's start to further paint a picture of what that might mean for the future, because there's some pretty exciting stuff. But saying that as well, we also have to, everybody adapts to change at different paces, and we need to also you'd be thinking about how we move through that. So, that's also why it's more of an evolution to how we do that. So big call out then for people to let us know what they've been doing. Check out the microsite, but get in touch with Rachel and share some more ideas, and hopefully we can shine a spotlight on the really fab stuff. So, because we absolutely know that there's, well, we see a lot, but we're pretty certain there's loads more that we haven't captured and we want to and share with other people. So that would be really great, and there'll be loads more to see on the microsite that we can keep people up to date with. So anything else that you want from people while we've got a captive audience?
From my perspective, no, I think I just look forward to talking to more people about what's going on, and how we can continue to bring the principles to life.
Excellent. Jane.
No, I think if in doubt, give us a shout. We'll be really pleased to hear from you. I think that's it. And call us, find us on Skype, or if you still got it, or Teams. But of course, if you want to email us, the email address is, of course, given as we've been discussing Connect for Success, the email address is workingtogether@argyle-bute.gov.uk. There you go. What else would it be other than working together?
Very good. So somebody was thinking about good comms when they came up with that one, Jane. Lovely. Well, thank you both for talking to me about it and helping to bring it to life. And hopefully that's given people a little bit more of an in-depth insight, and your phones ring off the hook with new successes. So thank you both.
Thank
Lovely to
you.
talk to you.
Big thank you to Jane and Rachel for joining me. And if that's whetted your appetite a little bit, then go on to the hub and check out our Connect for Success microsite, where there's some really great case studies that go into a little bit more depth of some of the great work that's been happening.
Podcast.